So I'm ready to hear the word, to be changed, to be equipped, to be released, activated, to have a succession in my life of fruitfulness. How many of you want a succession in your life? Not just for you to be successful, but to have a succession in your life so that you can look at back or look over your life and see the succession of what you've invested into somebody else, what they're then putting into somebody else, and so on and so on and so on. Because that's what God is speaking about at this time. God is speaking about that we're in harvest time, that the famine is over and that we're in abundance. How many of you actually believe that? Amen. Sounds great, doesn't it? But, you know, the famine is over. We're in abundance. God is speaking about the harvest. And there's a number of testimonies coming in just where people are just seeing God touch lives and change lives. But when God also spoke a couple of weeks ago about the anointing for the harvest. And God was releasing the anointing for his purposes, for the harvest. And last week, God was, the week before, God was really speaking about the activation, activating the anointing in our lives. And we talked about the harvest, that God is activating something for the harvest. And this week for me, as I've been praying and just reading and doing stuff, God's been talking to me about succession. That the harvest is not just about souls being saved. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Bible says that Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me. Therefore, now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I'll be with you to the very end of the age." So Jesus, the last command in one sense he gave to the apostles or the early believers was go and make disciples. He didn't just say go and win souls. Don't just go and see decisions made. But he said go and make disciples. That is about succession. The harvest is not just about seeing more people saved than we usually do. God is talking about making disciples. He's talking about reaping the nation. But Jesus calls a follower a disciple. And so God has been speaking to me about succession during this week and how we need to understand that the harvest is not just about seeing a few more people saved, but it's about seeing people saved and then what are we putting into them so they become disciples. If we look in the Bible, do a very, very brief kind of overview, God's purpose for creating Adam and Eve was so that he created man to have relationship with him. Now he knew before he even created Adam and Eve that they were going to sin. He was going to give them free will. They were going to choose the wrong thing. So he already had in mind a plan of salvation because God's purpose is for us to know him, be in relationship with him. And God's purposes in one sense look like they've been thwarted when Adam and Eve sinned. But yet then God found Abraham, or Abraham as he was then, found a man. And he gave him a promise or some promises and established a covenant with him. Now, God always does things in generations. He never just isolates one generation and then does something, leaves it for a bit and then does something else. God will move from one generation to the next. God is a God of succession. So, we'll come on to this bit in a minute. But let's just read Genesis chapter 12 at the beginning for a moment. Says here, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him and Lot went with him and so on and so on. Now, God was speaking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's three generations here that God was promising. And when you see in Genesis 12 that promise, then you see a few chapters later when Isaac comes on the scene, God reiterates the same promises. And then when Jacob comes along, he again reiterates the covenant or the promises, because in God's mind, there's a succession from one generation to the next. A lot of Christianity is being lived in isolation. What can I get out of God? What can God do for me? And how can I live a more blessed life? Well, the best way of all of those things being accomplished is simply to do whatever God has called us to do and commanded us to do. And on the way, we will receive. On the way, we will be blessed. On the way, we'll have everything we need for life and godliness. So here we have, right at the beginning of the Bible, this understanding that God is a God of succession, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then if we jump to David in 2 Samuel, let's just look there for a moment. 2 Samuel 7. Verses 12 onwards. God says, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne on his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now God reinstates, in one sense, the covenant that he made with Abraham and with the others. He reinstates that to David. But he also says he's not just going to fulfill that covenant through David. He's going to fulfill it through the generations also that are coming after him. And also the word here, Samuel's referring also in the prophecy here that he's giving David, he's referring in where it says here, when he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with the floggings inflicted by men. Well, Jesus is talked about being the son of David. And in those verses, they're talking about Jesus. Now, we know Jesus has never done wrong, but on the cross, he took the sin of mankind upon himself. Jesus was inflicted with the sin of mankind, and through floggings and beatings, he took sickness, he took sin upon himself, as we know, on the cross, so that he paid the penalty instead of us. And so right through here, God is already linking Jesus as the Savior in the Old Testament through the prophetic word that he's giving to David. But what he's saying is the ones that are coming after you, they're also going to build a house. They're also going to see the kingdom being built on earth. And so God is talking about succession all the way through the word. Then Jesus comes, and let's just look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4 verse 4 for a few verses. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman from under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. That's an awesome few verses there. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his sons into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That's about relationship with God. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. God is a God of inheritance. God is a God of succession. God is a God of history, and God is working out his purposes of salvation on the earth. And thousands of years ago, Abraham went before us and God gave promises. Isaac then stepped into that. Jacob then stepped into that. Joseph and so on stepped into that. Then we see David and his son and so on stepped into that. Jesus then came to fulfill that. But then Jesus said, now I've come to release something more onto the earth. The early church began. We are now part of the church several thousands of years later. But we are here in a certain place in history, a certain place in time, to see God's eternal purposes outworked on the earth. So we're not here just in our own life with God attached to our life somehow. We're here as part of God's heritage, God's history, God's purposes on the earth to see whatever he wants to do at this time in history take place. And therefore we need to to stand with a hand out as God is passing a baton into our hands and saying, it's our time now to run this leg of history to see his purposes on earth as they are in heaven. And that we're not just to look back and say, well, it's great for that time. The baton has been passed through one generation to the next generation to the next generation. It's our turn now to run with that baton to see God's purposes fulfilled. It is not about us living a Christian life with God attached to our lives, but it's about our lives being consumed with God's purpose. And then wherever we're living and working and outworking God's call in our life, God's purpose in our life, then we're to be that witness in that place. But God is talking about succession. Now, the awesome thing about the time we're in now is God is not just talking about one generation. He's talking about one generation of believer, whether young or old. There's a new generation of believer emerging, understanding the purposes of God, moving in the purposes of God, whether you're 10, whether you're 20, 50, 90. But we have four generations of people in this church, and God is moving through every generation to fulfill his purposes. And we need to understand that within God's purposes, different generations fulfill different aspects of the whole picture. But we need to understand that the harvest is not just about soul winning. It's about a succession of God's purposes from one generation to the next generation. None of us know when Jesus is coming back. He could come in a few years' time. He might come after all of us in this room are not alive anymore. And so we want to live our lives like there is no tomorrow, but we want to live our lives like we want to pass something on into the next generation. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, everything that you have heard me say to you, that when you've been in my presence, everything that I've instructed you and put into your life, now you put that into other reliable men so that they can also teach others. Paul wants a multiplication of his investment in Timothy. Paul wants a return in the investment that he's placed inside these other guys that he's been training and developing. He's not just saying, look, Timothy, have a great life and enjoy what I put in you. He's saying, Timothy, everything I'm investing in you is so that you can pass that baton on to other reliable men so that they can also then pass it on to others. There's a constant pressure, competition going for every one of our lives, for our children's lives and the kids that have come up, the children that are going to follow them. There's a constant pressure in the world to be into this, to have a baton of something passed into their life that is not carrying the purposes of God. The devil wants the generations that are rising at the moment to be carrying anything as long as they don't pick up the purposes of God. In that baton that is being passed into our lives, and we're passing from one generation. In that baton is the purposes of God. It is stuffed full of the promises of God, of the power of God, of the destiny of God. And so as we're talking about the harvest, and God is releasing the anointing for the harvest, and as we're seeing a quickening in people's lives as we're going out in different ways and touching lives, an acceleration in people wanting to know more, people getting healed and lives being touched. We need to understand it's not just to see a little bit of fruitfulness, but there's a bigger picture of one generation to the next. There's a succession thing that God is talking about at this time. When I was praying yesterday, God, I mean, we know in one sense what we're called to, and we know we want to see, we have a vision for revival in the nation, for a spiritual awakening, for the nation to be changed. And many of us, particularly Pastor Conor and Caroline, have been living this vision, dream, purpose for longer than any of us. But yesterday when I was praying, there was such a sense of God saying, "This is it, this is the time. This is now. This is the time that Kingdom Faith was born for." Did you hear me? It was like God was saying, this is the time now that Kingdom Faith was born for. If you look back here, Abraham got something from God that he then passed on to the next generation. And they saw a further outworking than the one that went before them. David had something with God. He got something from God, but he passed that on to the next generation. They built something that that generation didn't, but the first generation got something from God. Jesus came, he was God, he came from heaven, but he came in the same way Abraham and David were there to bring an initiation of something of the purposes of God that was then passed on, and then the early church saw more than Jesus did when he was on the earth. Now we have a spiritual inheritance that goes right back to the beginning of time, but also we have a spiritual inheritance that has been dug by Pastor Colin and Caroline in over many, many years, a spiritual inheritance where they have dug in, they have pressed in, they have taken hold of heaven. God has released things in them, through them. And in one sense, all of us benefit from the wells that they have dug. Every one of us is somewhere in God that we wouldn't be without them. All of us are moving further in God, and we're in a place we wouldn't be with God unless we were part of what we're part of. We're all richer spiritually for what we're part of. We're all moving with God more fully because of what we're part of. Because God works by succession. There's a heritage. There's an inheritance that comes not just from God, but also what he places in others to then pass on to the next generation of believer. I'm not just talking about age here either, although that's in there. And any of us that will get hold of that baton and will run with it, will take hold of their heritage, will take hold of whatever's being passed on, and that we run with that, we will then see what God's purposes are for this part of this time released and take place. Now, God is speaking, but we have to take hold of it. Anybody who dares to believe what God says and steps out in a fresh way will see what God is talking about take place. Anybody that is waiting to see it, you won't see it. That's the way God works. If you're looking, grabbing hold of, and moving into, you'll see it. And you'll wonder why some people are going, wow, it's great, God's doing this, God's doing that. I went to my neighbor and I went into the workplace and people just opened up. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah, I prayed for him, he got healed. And others will be going, well, why doesn't it happen with me? The difference is one steps in, one stays there. The baton's being passed on to run a race. The baton isn't just put into our hands to hold and say, wow, I've got this cool baton. It's stuffed full of the promises of God. It's got the power of God. It's not something we polish and put it on a mantelpiece and sit in our front room looking at it and going, what a cool baton I've got on my fireplace. How many of you know that if a baton's used, it gets scratched, it gets dents in it, it gets marked and all of that, because sometimes the baton gets dropped. But we don't want to drop the baton. God is talking about all of this stuff, the harvest, out of famine into abundance. Talking about the anointing for harvest, the anointing for multiplication. He's speaking about activating that anointing, but it's all in the context of succession. One generation to the next. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what or who, who are we investing in? What is it that we're putting into somebody else's life? God is speaking to the church, to us lot, but also to the church, about every believer taking responsibility. How many of you are responsible for paying your mortgage or your rent? How many of you are responsible for paying your council tax? How many of you are responsible for going to Tesco, Sainsbury's, wherever, buying your shopping? How many of you put fuel in your car? How many of you make sure your utility bills are paid? How many of you make sure you're wearing clothes when you go out your house in the morning? You know, how many of you make sure your hair's straight and you've got makeup on if you're a lady? And any blokes who wear makeup, come to the front and we'll set you free, okay? But it's funny how we're all responsible for things in our everyday lives because nobody else is going to pay your bills for you. Nobody else is going to get you dressed. Nobody else is going to get your food shopping in. Nobody else is going to fill your car up with petrol. Nobody else is going to take responsibility for the things that you are supposed to be responsible for. But it's funny, isn't it? Sometimes when we come into the church context, It's very easy to then wait for somebody else to do something that we're all responsible for. It's very easy to say, well, I'm not gifted to do that. I'm not gifted to pay a mortgage. I'm not gifted to pay 80% of the price of petrol to go into my car and 80% to go into, that's not my gifting, but I have to do it. There's some stuff that we all have to do because that's part of being alive and being part of life. There's something in the Bible when it in Acts 1 verse 8 where it says that when you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses. Now that's something we're commanded to do. That's something we're released to do by God. There's certain things God is speaking about at the moment that are not things that we say, well, do I want to do that or don't I? There's some things that God is releasing and doing amongst us to enable every one of us to be harvesters, but to be people of succession. Now, we can all fit together in different ways to see that fulfilled. But God is placing this baton in every one of our hands, in every one of our lives. And the difference between seeing something happen or not is not actually how gifted you are. It's not how charismatic kind of person you are. It's not down to whether you're good looking or not, or whether you've got money in the bank, whether your life's going well or not. Fruitfulness is basically determined by, firstly, an availability. Secondly, just being obedient to whatever God wants to do. And saying, okay, God, this is what you're saying. This is what you're doing. I'm going to step into it. I'm going to have a go. Whatever you've placed in my hand, running with this baton, there's stuff that's going to be released. I mean, you know, just using this as an example. Whatever's in your spirit, whatever baton is in your spirit in relation to what God is speaking about, as you step, it's like you're only going to find what's in there and what comes out when you step into something that you can't see or you don't know what the outcome's going to be. That's when something's released. But why? Because God is wanting succession. We invest, those of you that have got children, you invest in your children, don't you? In different ways. Not just spiritually, but in all sorts of different ways. Because you want them to grow up, to be mature, to be responsible, to be somebody who makes some contribution, a difference in life and in society. And same spiritually, we want to invest in them so they grow healthy in a spiritual way. So they make right choices, right decisions. So they submit themselves to the Lord and they want to serve the Lord because they want to, not because we necessarily want to. There's a point in all of our children's lives where we're investing in them and helping them. But there comes a point where they have to take a step themselves saying, well, actually, Jesus, I really want you for myself now, not just because I am the son of or the daughter of or because my parents, this, that, or the other. There comes a point where they take that step and begin to run with something in their own life, whether they're 8, 10, 15 years old. It's the same with this succession thing. We have, in one sense, a responsibility with what God's saying to reach out, to touch lives in however the Holy Spirit leads us in any given moment. But reaching out to people's lives, and there's going to be some discipline, some certain things, you know, when somebody gets saved, and we don't want to be chasing people, do we? Jesus never chased people to follow him. He said, come follow me and I'll make you. If we have to chase people, they're not really born again. They're not saved yet. We don't want to chase people into the kingdom. We want to lead people into the kingdom. Something about our lives that has taste in it, has flavor in it. Something that people say, oh, I want that. You know, when somebody really gets born again, you don't have to follow them up, do you? They follow you up. Do you know what I mean? When that heart work's really done, they want to know more. They tell you what's in the Bible, and you think, well, I haven't read that much of the Bible in the last week, as much as they have. And they're a new believer. You know, when you come across somebody who's just really got born again, really repented, and that they can't get enough of the word. And you realize, God, that must be you, because there's no way they'd have a hunger just on their own to do that. But they tell you how the Bible's speaking to them, how the Bible's coming alive, and it's just so exciting. You think, man, that must be the Lord. That's got to be the Holy Spirit. That's when somebody's really got born again. because they can't get enough. Something has been ignited in them, and the hunger to know God, to know His Word, is more than what they were part of. Why? Because they've been cut off, set free, separated from that, and now what they're connected to is life. Now, when it's like that, you're going to have a succession. When it's like that, you're going to have a disciple. When it's like that, you're going to have somebody that is very easy to put the baton into their hands and they're going to run with it. That's the time we're in. 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 Maybe some of you guys, I mean, if you're in leadership in this kind of context, sometimes you can feel pressure to do certain things to try and come on everybody and all this kind of stuff. And you can sometimes, you know, when you don't see people doing what you think they should, or you don't see people excited in a way you think, well, crumbs, you know, where are they at? What's going on? You know, you can take that as a, well, what are we doing wrong and what's going on? And, you know, do we need to do this, that, or the other? And during the week, I was in, I was just spending a bit of time with the Lord. And Wednesday, I had a pretty naff day, to be honest. And it was just a hard day. All some stuff we were talking about in a couple of meetings, different things that came up, and just where certain things are at, and just in the whole of Kingdom Faith, and really wanting to define things more, move more fully into stuff, and just some of the financial pressures that there have been, and all this kind of stuff. And I was cheesed off with it, to be honest. And went into my office. I was pretty, you know, I was a bit wound up inside. And you see, when in those situations, you got all the promises of God and what He's saying ringing around your mind, right? Going, you're out of famine, you're in abundance. You know, you're in harvest and da da da. And you're like, yeah, thank you. But at the same time, inside, I felt this pressure. My body was kind of aching. Some of the day on Wednesday, I just felt this pressure all on my body, and it was like a, I don't know how you describe it, but it just hurt a bit, and I was a bit wound up, and I wanted to kick a few things on my office. I didn't, but I just felt like booting a few things, because I was a bit like, ugh, you know, I wanted, you know, and in one sense, I'm like, God, we're out of I was going to say out of abundance then, we're out of famine, and we're in abundance, we're in the harvest, and this and that and the other, and thank you for your, you know, encouraging provision in different ways, but we need to see a lot more, and there's this and that, we need to redo this and change that and move into this and all of that kind of stuff. And I just said to the Lord, oh God, I've had enough of all this. I want to go and do something else. And God just said to me, well, stop trying then. Just give up. He said, if people want to be here, they'll be here. If they don't, they won't. If people want to be on the team, we're all the team in that sense. Well, we've been called in the staff. It's a really horrible word to use, really, because it gives a very work-minded mode to what we do. And I don't see what I do as work. But that doesn't mean I don't do any. But I just don't see what I do as a job. I don't see it. Well, I go in at 8 o'clock and go home at 5. You know, it's like 24-7 for me, what I'm doing, what I live for. And so I don't think I clock in and I clock out and all that kind of thing. But it was like this, just this relief of pressure. And also what we've been doing recently is, because things have been fairly tight financially, and praise God we're in abundance, so we're speaking to the bank accounts that they overflow with abundance. But you know, when God stretches us and moves into a season, finances can always be tight, because then it causes you to get right in His face and really seek Him and get things into order that are not, whether in your own life or corporately and all the wider aspects of what we do. And I just, if personally, just felt this pressure kind of lift off. And one of the things that we've done a bit recently is we've given sort of into Kingdom Faith, or we've had money given to us at different times, and we've just given, because I thought, well, I don't need it. Kingdom Faith needs it, so I'll just give it in, you know, because, you know, we need to just put the money in. And God really had a go at me. Because, I mean, I don't generally claim expenses for this, that, or the other. I just think, well, you know, I'm not really bothered about that sort of thing. But every kind of time we had some money, spare money, it'd be like, well, I'll put it in the offering, or we'll just give it in to, you know, we'll do something. Because, you know, Kingdom Faith needs it more than I do. And God rebuked me the other day. He said, who do you think you are? He said, don't you think I can look after my own body, my own church? I was a bit shocked, to be honest. Because I thought, I was like, well, God, I don't need it, so I'll give it. And God really had a go at me. He said, I don't want your money. He said, don't just give to me because you think I'm lacking and you've got enough. He said, your mentality is wrong, mate. He said, I've got more money than you could ever dream of. I've got more wealth than you could ever imagine. I can look after myself. So don't give me money just because you think I need it, because that's how God sees it. I was thinking, well, Kingdom Faith could do with that. I don't, you know, let's put it in. That would help a little bit in some way. And it was like I was saying to God, God, you're lacking and I've got something you haven't, so I'll give you what I've got. Now, I'm not saying to everybody, don't bother giving. Everybody's going, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Well, I'll go and go on that holiday now then instead, or whatever it was you're going to do. But it was like, God was saying, don't support me. It was more an attitude. I didn't realize it was it, but that's what was underlining it. And it's just interesting how God speaks something prophetically. You're out of famine, you're in harvest, you're in abundance, and this and that and the other. But yet in some ways, what you see doesn't necessarily line up with what God is saying. But what do you act upon? What you see and waiting for something, or do you act upon what God has said and you move into it and then you see it? And for me, it's the second. God said, he said, I don't want your money, I just want your life. If I've got your life, I'll have everything else. If I want you to give your money into Kingdom Faith, I mean, I tithe and give and all that sort of thing. But he said, if I want you to give this and that and the other, I'll tell you to. I know what your heart is, Clive, so you don't have to do it just because you think you've got to prop something up until the full release, you know, until there's a greater release, so you don't have to do that. Not that I've got enough money to prop it up. But it was like, I want your heart. If I've got your heart, I've got your life. If I've got your life, I've got your time. If I've got your time, I've got your availability, or whichever way around it is. And that linked with this whole succession. Clive, you're living for a succession from one generation to the next. And it's like this, every one of us taking responsibility as we would for our own bills, mortgages, rent, running costs, life costs. As we take responsibility for that, it's like God saying every one of us in the same way needs to be responsible in the house of God. We're all responsible in our own houses, but we need to be responsible in the house of God. The house of God is not a hotel. The hotel is somewhere where you go, you stay overnight, you pay for the hotel, and you go away and you expect everybody else to make sure you have a nice time there. The house of God's not a hotel. The house of God is a house, it's a home, it's a place, it's something that we are part of, and that we... There's a whole load of messages in there. But you're part of a house, you're part of a family, you're part of something where you and me, each one of us, takes responsibility in the purposes of God. There's certain things God's putting into your hand that only you can do as part of this house. People to reach, lives to touch. There's certain lives I can touch that you won't. There's certain lives you'll touch that I won't. But together, we're not just going for a few souls. We're going for a succession of God's purposes from one generation to the next. Amen. Let's stand up, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Can we just have the band ready and we'll just... Thank you, Father. Just close your eyes a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's the God of succession. God has placed his life, his word, his truth, his call, his purpose, his destiny inside of your spirit. Inside of your life. You have a baton in your hand this morning, and it is stuffed full of the promises of God, the authority of God, the power of God, the destiny of God, healings, deliverance, salvation. It's full of life, full of him. And he's placed that inside of you. You lack no good thing. You have everything you need for life and godliness. He's placed everything you need in your life to see victory today. You don't lack anything you need to have succession today. God never commands us to do anything without us having what we need to see it happen. You've got everything you need this morning, everything you need to see lives touched today, lives touched tomorrow, lives touched this week. Every day you have what you need to see God's purposes work in you and through you, to touch your marriage, to touch your friendships, to touch your family, to touch your people around you, your work colleagues, whoever they may be, to fulfill the purposes of God in this town, in this region, in the nation, in other nations. We have what we need today to fulfill the purposes of God today. We lack nothing. But it's our response to that. We lack nothing in terms of what God has given, but that's got to be matched with something. It's matched with a hunger and a desire. It's matched with a passion for Jesus. It's matched with us responding, saying, yes, God, I want to do that in obedience. God has given us everything we need, but then everything he's given us is matched with, come on, Jesus, I'm going to step into that and see you move. I'm going to reach out in some way this week. I'm looking for you to touch lives. I want to have succession after me in my family, first of all, if you're married with kids. Or you want to see a succession there, first of all, but you want to see succession through your life group. You want to see succession in your workplace. You want to see succession because it's harvest time. That is the door to succession, one generation to the next. Thank you, Jesus. If this morning you've been responding in the last few weeks in any way, saying, well, God, I'm inadequate. I haven't got what I need. I'm not like them. Just bring yourself before the Lord. Bring yourself under his lordship and just ask him to forgive you if in any way that you know you've lacked that faith and you've determined your responses because you felt inadequate and not ready. Well, God, I've never seen that, and it's great them saying that, but I don't know if I can see that. If that's how you've been thinking, just submit yourself, your mind, your thinking, your heart, your spirit to his lordship. Ask him to forgive you for any unbelief. And instead of that, ask him for just that revelation right now, that you would have a witness in your spirit, a witness in your heart. This is it. I'm out of famine. I'm into harvest. I'm into abundance. This is what God is saying, and I take hold of that prophetic word, these prophetic things that God is saying. We're in this time. We're beginning to see just the shoots of it taking place, and so I just take hold right now by faith. Make a decision this morning that I take hold of that today, right now, into my life, that this baton is in my hand. It's in my spirit. It's in my heart. It's not just in everybody else's, and I'm the only one left out. None of us feel much of the time that we're ready for whatever God wants, but faith isn't determined by feelings. It's determined by a choice, saying, Father, I thank you that you placed me here. I'm part of this body. You've got me here at this time. You put baton into my hand. I'm going to run with this as part of the body. This highway of holiness that I'm on, that's going to be kept that way through prayer, seeing other people come up to this highway of holiness through the witness, through the outreach, through our lives in different ways, that people are going to come onto this highway of holiness because of what you're doing amongst me, amongst us. Father, I thank you right now For what you place in my hand. And Father, I'm looking for succession, for disciples. Those that I'm not just going to have to follow up, but they follow me because of what you're doing in me and through me and through us together corporately. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Succession. That's what God has called you to. The harvest is about succession. David had the covenant reiterated to him by God. But he said, I'm going to build the temple through your son. There was a next generation of time where God was going to then fulfill his purposes. And Solomon built the temple. God was glorified in that season of time in the way that God wanted. But what Solomon spent his time doing was different than what David spent his time doing. But yet the same promises of God, the same covenant, the same spirit working to fulfill God's purposes. And as we move into this generation of time that we're in the beginning of, we're not going to do things in the same way. We're not going to spend the amount of time focusing on certain things in the same way. When the Holy Spirit's released, as we've heard before, the Holy Spirit's released in a generation of time to fulfill the purposes of God in that generation. And so the way the Holy Spirit moves now will be different than he has the last 10, 20, 30 years. And so it's us getting to grips with this time where God is saying it's about harvest. Succession has gone on for generations. So that's not changing. But it's our understanding that God is turning us inside out. The focus is harvest, people, society, nation, beyond. Not just the Christian nation, but the whole nation. But within that, God is raising up a new generation, a new nation. A holy people, a royal priesthood, a people who belong to God, people who have been set aside for this, but God's going to raise up a new generation, a new nation of within this nation, a nation of believers, a nation who have given their lives to him. And people from the wider nation are going to become part of this new nation, the body of Christ. Can you see that? Can you believe it? Or if you can see it, God's witnessing to you in your spirit. Because that's what we live for. That's what we're going for. That's why we do some of the stuff we do. Because of what we're living for. What we're going for. We don't just want to do church and have a nice time. We want to do the kingdom and whatever that looks like as we move forward. Thank you, Jesus. Just link up hands a minute, not just to pray. If you're standing there on your own, you're not connected to anybody. There's no succession when you're just standing there. But when you join hands, suddenly the whole room is joined from front to back, side to side, corner to corner. Suddenly, just because we've linked hands, the whole room is now linked together. Now that's what God's talking about. If you just think about the harvest, you'll just think about individual people on their own. If you think about succession and that's God's purpose, then you'll know everything I do is connected to everything else. What I'm doing now is connected to the whole body because there's a succession, one person to the next, one to the next, one to the other, one generation to the next. We're, in one sense, we're now one body because we're all linked hands. Suddenly you could say we're one person because we're all connected. Something can go through if there was some disease in the room. And somebody had it and you could catch it by touch. It would now be across the whole room. Why? Because simply people have understood if you touch, if you connect with somebody, there'll be a succession from one person to the next. And that's how God wants us to be thinking. What you do affects somebody else. How you live affects what you put into somebody else. How we are, we've got to think succession. We want to take the children's work more seriously in the church. We want to have more people working with the children. There's some changes. Obviously, one couple's going moving up north. They've been helping to lead one age group. There's some other changes happening. Leaders moving around and stuff. And we want to invest in our children, because this isn't where it all happens, in this room here. It's happening in the rooms upstairs. It's happening over a rocky place. Because it's the body that God moves in. It's the body that God touches. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this activation for the harvest that you've been releasing. And Father, I thank you for this understanding of succession also. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've already been anointed for the harvest. God has already activated something. A lot of that happened last week in the meeting, in different ways, praying for the lost and releasing something. And now God's just given us an understanding. It's about succession. And this linking in, we're not just here for ourselves, but we're here for everybody that is not part of the church, as it were. It's a different way of thinking. It's not your charismatic Christianity anymore, where it's based around what conference can I go to, what video set, teaching set can I get, how can I stash my library full of materials that are Christian stuff, and how much more can I stuff myself full of the word and all that sort of thing to feel better about myself. God's awoken the church in his wisdom. He's now saying it's harvest time. As far as God's concerned, he reckons there's enough people around the country that have got enough to see the harvest. I mean, in God's wisdom, that's what he's saying. So he must think that he's released enough for enough people to get hold of and run with to see his actual purposes fulfilled. Whether there's only 3 churches in the nation who believe that, 50, 1,000, who cares? If God is saying it, let's not wait for anybody else to do what they're doing. Let's run fully with everything that God is saying to us. Let's not look round and see what anybody else is doing. Let's just set our faces like flint and just go for everything God has called us to as kingdom faith. Thank you, Jesus. It's like God is speaking to all of us at this time. Are you on board or not? Or do you want to go onto another ship? It's like God is saying, this is what it's going to mean. Are you on board? And it's like God's doing a bit of that during this autumn time. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you just enable every one of us to find that right place on the ship, as it were, that battleship. Not a cruiser, but a battleship. Moving in your purposes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just turn to somebody else and say, you look like a successor.